This is the whole month, our theme here, let's pray. Again, this is one of the most important foundational things we do as followers of Jesus. So, 5 Sundays this month, we started by talking about, about prayer alone. Pray alone. You know, how important that is to be able to have a living, vital relationship with God yourself. But that's not all. We pray together. There's just something special that happens. Jesus says, where even two or three agree together. God loves relationship, not just with us and Him, but with us and each other in His family. Because He gets the glory, and that's all multiplied when we pray together. Last week, we talked about how important it is to pray in faith. And about without faith, it's impossible to please God. But faith, when we have it, even in that faith like a mustard seed, God will take that and do some amazing things with it. So moving on here, we're talking about how to pray continually. That might sound familiar to some of you guys. If you were memorizing Scripture as a young Christian out of the King James Version like I was, it was pray without ceasing. Okay, that's kind of in the negative there. Pray without ceasing. The NIV translators, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there. Just going to give you a little bit of a notice on the context there. 1 Thessalonians, again, the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica here. This is a little set of final instructions that he's given these guys. Some of the most important stuff he says before he signs off. And this is in this just little cool little couple of verses here where it's just a bunch of like rapid fire, really important things he says. Be joyful always. Wow. Even when your sister dies, even when you lose your job, even when bad stuff happens. I didn't write it. That's what it says. Be joyful always. Why? Because our joy is not wrapped up in circumstances. Our joy is wrapped up in eternity, in the God of eternity. Father, Son, and Spirit. The one true God who is forever. And once we have invested fully in Him and are laying up treasure in heaven, not just, oh, this big car, or this house, or taking a bunch of vacations is going to make me happy. No, we're investing in the work of eternity. We might even be sacrificing quite a bit in this life to be able to invest in eternity, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. When we do that, God will definitely take care of us, and we will be able to be joyful always. So maybe this is God's word for some of you today, who joy has just been, you don't even remember the last time this would describe you. God says that it's possible. Again, part of this is, you know, God's work and our cooperation with God's work together. So God's not going to force you to do anything, probably. He's going to set out some good works, and then it's up to us to walk in them. Okay? So you have a choice on that, and God is more than willing and ready and able to help you be joyful if you would choose that in your circumstance. And that is definitely connected here. It bumps right into this contextually in the literary context. That comes first, and this is like, boom, right next to it. Like, you know, cars in a train here. They're connected. Be joyful always. Pray continually. How can you be joyful always? That's a big part of it. By praying, when your focus is to the Lord. It's not just outwardly on the circumstances all around you. If you focus on that stuff, you're going to be like Peter when Jesus said, hey, come out on the water. Jesus is walking on the water. The big storm's happening, huge waves. You know the story. And Peter finally says, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for it. You know, good old impulsive Peter. You know, he went for it. You know the story. He did fine for a while walking out to Jesus. You know, but after a while, Scripture says he noticed the waves around him. And he's just thinking, darn it, this doesn't make sense. By looking at the waves, being joyful when bad things happen doesn't make sense. But if you can keep your eyes focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, you know, keep your eyes fixed on Him, you're going to make it. But Peter looked around, he saw the wind and the waves, the circumstances that were bad, he started to sink. But Jesus stretched out His hand and it said immediately he was saved by Jesus. And then they were in the boat. Pretty cool stuff. So anyway, be joyful always, pray continually. What's the last part in this here? Give thanks in all circumstances. And it's important to note it doesn't say because of all circumstances. You might be in a pretty bad, pretty lousy, messed up situation. And we're not thankful for everything. We're not thankful when the bad things happen. What we are thankful is that in those circumstances, we can still have God with us. We still can be in relationship with Him and know that, hey, if they take everything that I have, even my physical life itself, they can't take away my love for God, His love for me, and our promise of eternity together. That's the joy of the martyr. That's why believers over the centuries have been able to be willing to die for their faith and even be tortured because of eternity. That promise of eternity with Christ and living in all the blessings of God. So be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know what God's plan for you is? To do these things. To be joyful always, to pray without ceasing continually, and to be thankful. Man, I would guarantee on the authority of God's Word, not because Randy said it, but if you do these things, man, your spiritual life is just going to skyrocket, man. You'll be on a trajectory that is amazing. If you make this a pattern for your life, okay, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks anywhere and everywhere, even if circumstances around you are not good. That's that part of seeking God first and His righteousness. So when we do this, that 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, awesome things happen. So we get the understanding from here, this is not just one-time static thing. It's ongoing, it's dynamic, it's got action in it, it's continually, it's without ceasing, it's always. All circumstances. So that's very cool because your circumstances are going to change. It's an adventure. We're not just in the same place all the time doing the same boring stuff. Man, things change. But we're out there serving God, and so we need to learn to pray in all of those different situations like that. So that's pretty cool. Kind of an Old Testament corollary to this, or almost parallel verse to me, because remember, well, we need to do a little bit of a review. So Seber and I think we're going to go back a little bit. Let's define prayer again. This is a little bit in review here. We defined prayer as communication with God, both speaking and listening, all right? And that was mentioned earlier. Okay, so it's not just throwing out our list of I want this, that, and the other thing to God. No, it's us sharing our life in relationship with God, but not just us doing all the talking. Those kind of relationships get old pretty fast. I thank God that He is long-suffering, you know, but it's not just all about us, but it's about us listening. And remember we said God speaks a couple of ways. He speaks through His Word. And He speaks through the Holy Spirit, that inner sense that we have as believers, where Jesus promised that as the Good Shepherd, He would speak and us as His sheep would hear and understand His voice. And He would use that communication to lead us from one green pasture, one good place to the next. So both speaking and listening, that's pretty important in our process of what we're talking about today. We've talked about the mystery of prayer, just about that we're not informing God of anything. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. But He loves that relationship so much. We talked about how that when we pray, our hearts and minds and lives are changed. That's a big part of this mystery of prayer. God wants us to change, not just stay in that same place that we were a year ago spiritually. Remember, we talked about that baby. It'd be a tragedy if that baby a year from then was still 6 pounds. You know, no, that baby should grow. You should grow. I should grow spiritually together. We talk about the Word of God being like food for the soul and prayer being a lot like water. Yeah, you might be able to go without solid food for a while, but you're not going to live too long without drinking some water because our bodies are designed to be primarily water. We talked about if the world's going to be impacted by God's love, we need to have a living, vital, vibrant relationship with God. If you're going to affect people in your neighborhood or that you work with or at school, and your walk with God isn't doing much, then you're probably not going to have that big of an impact. Again, not that it depends on you, but God is there ready to infuse you. He already indwells you by His Spirit, but He wants to, basically, I like to think of that putting gas in the gas tank. I always think of that, that's the difference between the book of Romans chapter 7 where the Apostle Paul says, I know the right thing to do, but I blow it every time. In my own strength, I just can't do it. I always think of some big, awesome sports car, maybe a Lamborghini or a Ferrari or something. You got the keys, got the tires on, everything's ready to go, but there's no gas in the tank. There's no fuel. I need some fuel. That's kind of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference, man. Then you can fire up that ignition and actually go have some fun. So that's what God wants to do in us and through us, a living, vital, vibrant relationship. And not that we're always on mountaintop experiences, no way. There are hills, there are valleys, but as we grow in the Lord, we should keep maturing and become more steady and more alive and more vibrant. So when we talk about praying continually, we're talking about developing a natural rhythm of doing stuff, to where it's not just like drinking water, but it's almost like breathing as well. Prayer is like that. And after, we can all think about breathing. I know we've done this before. You think about it, and you can hold your breath, or you can breathe real fast. Sound like a dog panting or something. Yeah, we can control that just with our thoughts. Or it can just become a regular process that we don't even have to think about. It's involuntary because our bodies are designed like that. Well, guess what? Our spirits, our souls are designed like that. God wants prayer just to be like breathing, where you don't even think about it, but you do it all the time, and it gives you life. It gets that blood going throughout your whole spiritual being, and you are able to be alive and vibrant here. But it's some of you guys are holding your breath, for years, Probably not, or he wouldn't be here. But maybe for a week, I wouldn't ask you to hold your hand. But there may be some here, the only time you really think about praying is when we're together. And I'm glad you're here and that we do that. That's a great place to start. But I think from this whole series of messages, God wants us to be able to grow from that as a starting point here. So develop a natural rhythm. About a year ago, and I remember it was a year ago, but almost, I think it was in July, where we were at the week of camp up at Riverwoods. I didn't get to go during the day I wanted to because my mom was in the hospital. Some of you guys may remember that. And they found out that what was happening with her, she had developed a serious irregular heartbeat. And, it's thanks to all of the commercials, now I know what AFib is. It's that irregular heartbeat. But guess what they did for my mom? They gave her a pacemaker. She's still going through some stuff, but the pacemaker has helped a lot. Why or how? Because it's given her heart a regular beat. So sometimes we need that. Sometimes a message like this might be that kick in the pants or that little electrical spark that a pacemaker will send out that will get you in a regular rhythm so you're doing stuff enough to be healthy and for that blood to really get going. So we're talking about a rhythm here. And I just want to mention kind of two categories of prayer. So it's important, I think, that we do this. And you might already be doing this without thinking. The first type is planned prayer. We've mentioned a little bit of this in the few previous weeks here. We're talking about a daily routine, developing some spiritual disciplines. And discipline is not inherently a bad word. It's mostly a good word here. We're talking about this daily routine. I know a few weeks ago, talked about, hey, the first thing that you do when you, even before you roll out of bed. Again, I was taught a lot of this stuff as a baby Christian when I was out at Teen Challenge, the Rocky Mountains in 1977. I was so glad that I had people that cared about me enough to really say, hey, you need to do this. If you want to be serving God 20, 30 years from now, you need to be doing this. And I just want to say thank you, Lord. My spiritual birthday is this week, 37 years on that Wednesday. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yeah. All by the grace of God. But this is what we do. Remember, we help each other learn to serve Jesus. But I was taught right away when I was at Teen Challenge, hey, you need to pray before you even get out of bed. Have the first thought in your mind be to God and just be something of thanks and expectation. Just saying, Lord, thanks for another day to live and to serve you. It's one of those little phrases that aren't just a vain repetition because for me, they're full of meaning. That's the first thing I say every day once I'm like, oh, I'm awake, man. Thank you, Lord, for another day to live and to serve you. Then I'll climb out of my side of the bed and start the rest of the day. But I was also taught in that rhythm of prayer, hey, spend some time with the Lord early. And for me, that rhythm of prayer is when I'm taking a shower. I'm kind of, and I've talked about this before. For me, that's where I kind of focus in on the Lord's Prayer as kind of a pattern. I've taught through that. We're not going to go through all of that. But, you know, starting by giving God glory, you know, trusting Him for stuff, all of those things that the Lord's Prayer is, praying for others, for God's protection, God's provision, and starting and ending with worship and praise to God, all of that. But it develops a rhythm, just like that pacemaker that keeps you going. And it's kind of cool we see this. This isn't something new in the New Testament. We see this with God in the Old Testament. Again, He's placed something in the heart of mankind to worship Him. Even cultures where they're far from the God of the Bible, there's still that desire to sacrifice to God, to be able to get right with God, even though they know they're not right with God, whether it's sacrificing the virgin in the volcano or whatever it is in their fallen cultures. A lot of these cultures and civilizations grieve the heart of God because they weren't doing it right. Again, that's why God wanted to create a nation, Israel, that would be a shining example to the rest of the world what it was to be in an awesome love, trust relationship with the holy God. And ever since Adam and Eve, there's been this understanding in the human race, and definitely amongst those who were surrendered to the one true God, about blood sacrifice. Remember, what had to happen for Adam and Eve to have their shame of nakedness covered? It wasn't shameful at the beginning. You guys remember what had to happen? God had to make a covering of animal skins. Who did that? God. God instituted animal sacrifice and the shedding of innocent blood right from the beginning. That's why Cain's sacrifice wasn't as good as Abel's. It wasn't a blood sacrifice. It wasn't the animal sacrifice. And God later would go on with the law of Moses to give detailed instructions. Okay, here's how you make this sacrifice with this animal. Here's how you do it. You make this grain offering. Later, grain offerings were okay because they were done according to God, how God had said that. It was part of the sustenance. That's part of how the priest got to eat, you know, by the offerings that people brought into the tabernacle and into the temple. But God taught through that whole process of the animal sacrificial system that he laid out with Moses and then, you know, Aaron and the Levites and all of that, which was just a foreshadowing. It was like a movie preview or trailer. It's really pointing towards Jesus, who was the real deal, the final sacrifice. Most of us know about that. But this animal sacrificial system we read in the Old Testament, there were morning sacrifices, there were afternoon sacrifices, and there were evening sacrifices. What's this telling us? We always need sacrifices. And those were times of essentially worship and prayer. Those were times for the people through the priesthood to be able to connect with God and to be reconciled to God in the different festivals and feasts that they had. But they had sacrifices all day long. And guess what? During the traveling in the wilderness, you had the tabernacle. Remember that? It was kind of a big tent all the way around the outside. And they could, on this altar for the burnt offerings, guess what happened? Morning, noon, and night, smelling burnt animal flesh and seeing the smoke go up and being reminded, man, we need forgiveness from a holy God. And He's willing to offer it if we come to Him as He commands us. So this whole thing of continual sacrifice, continual connecting with the holy and righteous God, morning, noon, and night, that was set forth in the Old Testament here. It's pretty cool. That's why, like when we read in the book of Daniel, if you're taking notes here, I've got a few verses here. Daniel prayed three times a day. That's Daniel 6:10. And he didn't stop doing it even when it was illegal. But in the Jews, it was what it became to be, even when they didn't have the tabernacle or the temple there. It was on the third hour, which they counted time from what would be our 6 a.m. when the sun came up. The third hour was 9 o'clock in the morning. That's the first time of prayer. Noon was 3 hours later. And then at the afternoon sacrifice would be 3 p.m. for them. So that was kind of how that worked, those three times a day. And that even continued on in the New Testament time, because we see in Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, remember that, when they walked into the temple and the guy was begging for money and silver and gold having none? Guess what? Even in the book of Acts it said they went into the temple because it was that time of prayer. This is really cool. There, when I was preparing this message, I ran across a bunch of notes that said, man, God has in Scripture chosen to do a lot of these cool things at those times of prayer. Whether it was Daniel praying and saying, hey, at the time of the evening sacrifice, Gabriel showed up. Just in that time when God's people are often connecting with Him, He showed up. The angel showed up, and spiritually things started to happen here. All of that's really, really cool stuff. This is really awesome, and I never really fully realized this coinciding factor until I was studying for this message. What time did Jesus get crucified? At the first hour of prayer, 9 a.m., the third hour? What time did everything go dark? Again, just during our chronology of the crucifixion, those few times that are mentioned. What time was it? 12 noon? What time did He die? The sixth hour, 3 p.m.? Wow. So even those significant events on the cross line up with these the times of prayer throughout the day. Pray continually. Jesus, with His life on the cross, was praying continually. He was that sacrifice on the cross. Father, forgive them. You guys get that? Does that make sense? And I was like, when I realized that, I was like, wow, I've been serving the Lord this long. I never really had heard that or seen that in that way. It was just really, really cool. So that kind of fires me up all the more to be able to pray. So develop this prayer throughout the day. One of the things I think if you're a parent to pray for, if you're married, this is important to pray for your spouse, pray for your kids. The book of Job, Fred mentioned Job. Pretty interesting. Job chapter 1. We don't have time to dig into this, but man, the book of Job is so awesome, cool, and strange. All of this really amazing stuff going on there. But what happens here is that Job's kids, Job had a lot of money, you know, and his kids were wealthy. They probably had life pretty easy. He had seven sons and three daughters, and it said the sons would throw massive parties. They would just celebrate and have big feasts, and they'd invite their three sisters. But it said that Job feared that they might have cursed God in their hearts. Job was an upright guy, and though he had a lot of money, he realized that, hey, sometimes when life is easy, it's easy to forget God. And it doesn't say that his kids did blaspheme God or anything like that, but what it does say, he was a dad who cared about the spiritual well-being of his kids. And he prayed. He made regular sacrifices for his kids. Wow. And you probably know the story. They died. A big hurricane, whirlwind, tornado, whatever it was, came and destroyed the house where they were feasting. And only that one servant went out alive to bring the message to Job. Did Job curse God? No, guess what? He gave thanks continually, like that 1 Thessalonians 5:17 verse. Even when all of his kids, his 10 kids, died, he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will return. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Wow. Wow. Lord, may that be the case for me and for all of us here, that we're able to respond like that, because he was a guy who knew about regular prayer, continual prayer. So that's part of our routine, part of that natural rhythm. Pray every day for your kids. Husbands, pray for your wives. Wives, pray for your husbands. Not like, hey, he's been such a jerk lately. No, pray prayers of blessing, of just God's peace, God's activity, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Pray that stuff for your spouse. Pray that stuff for your kids. For the protection of God, for the boldness of God in their lives, all of this stuff. So pray for them. Another thing in this planned prayer, what about prayer when we're eating? And again, hopefully this isn't a ritual. When I was a kid growing up, we had two different prayers. I think we switched, you know, every 6 months or so, you know, and he'd sit down and he'd say that prayer. And I'm thankful we did that. I think it was better than not doing that. But even, and if those recited prayers are full of meaning and vibrancy and you understand those and the other people who are praying that together and saying that, that's okay. But it's even, I think, a little better if you can just pray spontaneously from your heart. But to do it at those regular times, I don't know about you, but I eat at least three times a day, you know. So to be able to be in the habit of saying, oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You know, again, we see this in the life of Jesus. Number of times in the Gospels, definitely at all of the times where Jesus fed the 5,000 and then the 4,000. What does He do before He distributes the food? He lifts it up to God and he gives thanks. And we see that in all of these Old Testament feasts, that the Jews were taught to do that. And it's cool because the Jews were taught not only to pray before the meals, but there are certain Jewish blessings that happen after a meal is over. That's pretty cool. That makes you feel better. Oh, I already chowed down. Oh, man, I forgot to say thanks. You know? Here's a verse for you guys that kind of goes along with that. It says, "For everything God created is good," because they're talking, hey, what's clean, what's unclean, what's okay for the Christian to eat. "And nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving." 1 Timothy 4:4. So it's just good. When we pray around meals, it causes us to say thanks. That's what that's really all about. Again, we don't want to make a public show just to do it. And the flip side of that is we don't want to be ashamed to do it. So if you're at wherever you're resting, you have Buffalo Wild Wings or whatever, you don't have to stand up on the chair. You don't have to say, "Hey, turn those TVs down. We're going to be praying." You don't have to do that. But if you're with your friend, bow your head and just say, "Lord, thanks for this food. We love you. Thanks for letting us watch the hockey game here," whatever it is. That just doesn't have to be long and lengthy, but do it. And so these regular rhythms, these planned times of planned prayer here. Here's a good reference. Deuteronomy 8:10 says this. And this is just kind of a preview that God gives His people. Hey, when you've gone into the promised land and you're just blessed and you're enjoying the harvest of fields that you didn't plant and living in homes that you might not have built, He says, all this stuff happens. He says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He's given you." So again, it's just another cool verse. Hey, pray before you eat. Give thanks afterwards as well. That other category of prayer besides planned prayer is spontaneous prayer. And it's like spontaneous combustion. Things just blow up out of nowhere. This is awesome when this happens. And it can happen in the negative. Remember, I just talked about Peter when he was sinking down, trying to walk on the water to do what Jesus had invited him to do. You know, what was his prayer? One word, probably. Help! You know? Cool. God is not impressed by our long words. If that's what's in your heart, pray it out. Guess what? He knows everything else going on in your life anyway. Pray that prayer of desperation spontaneously. Let that blow up, man, and God will use that. God loves sincerity. That's what He wants. So spontaneity is cool because spontaneity is like, plan stuff is good too. You know, if we didn't have an architect to plan how a building was going to look, it would be a wreck, you know. So that's good. But then all of these cool things that just happen and scatter all over, the spontaneous stuff are pretty awesome as well. So there's the emergency, dire, desperate prayers. God loves prayers of desperation. He loves it. And He loves to answer those as well. But not only that, the flip side of that, the spontaneous prayers of celebration. If you see something cool, Lord, thanks. That's awesome. And again, it can be prayer alone or prayer together. This is really cool. I love it when somebody says, "Hey, man, let's just thank God for this." And we'll take 30 seconds or 15 seconds and just say a quick prayer. "Lord, thank you that, you know, you met my needs today," or whatever it is. So that is an encouragement to everybody there. So do that alone, do that with family, do that with friends. And maybe here's another one, maybe even with strangers. Again, be led by the Holy Spirit in all of this. But if you are being led by the Holy Spirit, I bet you will have times where you just have this thought in your mind, "Oh man, maybe I should go pray with that person." It can be a little freaky, especially if you're not real outgoing in that. That's why I love the gift to the body of Christ in Aurora that, like the Vineyard Church is. That's part of their DNA, man. Most of the folks that go there love to do that, you know. It's natural, like breathing to them. For some of us, maybe not as much. But it's a really good thing. Not that, you know, again, we're not talking about being a jerk and imposing yourself on people and stuff. But if you get that thought in your mind saying, "Man, maybe you should just go over and ask that person, hey, would you mind, can I pray for you?" And you might be pretty clearly observing what their need is. Maybe you're not. I don't know. But God is smart enough and is faithful enough to lead us that when we're obedient to Him, He'll fill in that next blank. And I have never had a time where somebody that I've asked, hey, can I pray for you, where it's gone wrong or they've, you know, had a negative reaction. It has 100% always been good. The weak link in the chain is if I never ask, then it never happens. So to be able to do that, man, but if you, like I say, if you have a friend that's a believer and you're somewhere, like I say, don't be ashamed or afraid to pray and to pray together. And you might be the one of the two or the three of you that actually says, hey, can we pray? And here's another one. Yeah, you can silently pray for people. God will honor that too. A few of you guys know, when I was a younger teenager, I was in this thing called the Fox Valley Raiders Drum and Bugle Corps. Traveled around the Midwest. Steve Watkins, Jeff Olson, John Kaleggi, a lot of people. We were part of this when we were like 14, 15 years old. And we weren't living for the Lord. None of us were back then. But now kind of a extraordinary large percent of us that hung out together and did not so good things socially back then are all saved and living for Jesus now. I always think, that's so weird. Why is that? And I keep getting back to the thought that, well, maybe during one of our shows or one of the parades, maybe we were in some town in Iowa that I have no recollection of. There might be an old saint there who loved God and might have been praying, you know, Lord, would you save this group of young people? Would you put your call on their lives? When they're, you know, not knowing maybe even where we were at spiritually. But if God drops those thoughts in your brain, that's not the devil. That's not the flesh. That's the Holy Spirit. Do it. Walk in faith. Again, that doesn't take a lot of faith to do that. It just takes a little bit of obedience in your mind to just pray. Pray in your thoughts. Here's another thing. As much as possible when you can, I think it's good, even by yourself, in the car, or whatever, to pray out loud. There's something that happens in your spirit when you hear your words in your own ears. It's pretty cool. Lord, thank you so much for our time here together. We just want to commit ourselves to you, Lord, and say thank you for your good work in each of our lives, Lord. No matter where each of us are at with you, Lord, we're here and we're experiencing your love this morning. Lord, would you draw us from where we're at to even closer to you, Lord? Teach us to pray, Lord, this truth of praying without ceasing, praying throughout the day. Lord, calling on you just as natural as breathing. May you cause that to be the case in each of us, Lord. Not that we could be spiritually proud, but we could be spiritually humble, Lord, and thankful to have a God who loves us, that you are inviting us to cast all of our cares on you because you care for us. So thanks for that. Thanks for this week that's ahead of us and all the good that you want to bring into our lives and situations. So thanks for that, Lord. May you bless the giving of your people. Lord, may you scatter us in so many different places this week to be salt and light, to bring the life of God all over the place. So thanks for that. We love you. Give you ourselves in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.